Spit is drooling out of my mouth. This is episode 40 of the TryGames.net podcast, and we are half a man, because we only have two out of our four. This is a great way to start off our 40th spectacular, even though we didn't have planned anything. I am your host, Mr. Chupon, and I am here with Al!
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. What do you play?
Pokemon Leaf Green. Excuse me.
Are you throwing back?
Yeah, because you can't trade the old Pokemon to the Sapphire version, like, until you beat it or something. And I had to stop playing it just because I didn't feel like playing the game I played 8 years ago again. So now I'm playing it again, and it's still fun.
And that's it?
That's all I've had the time to play. I had a wedding yesterday. It was fun. And then Friday, I went to dinner with the family who is getting married. So basically, my whole weekend was that. I just played Warcraft here and there, but that's really not worth discussing.
I played wedding! It's better than conference.
Yeah, it is.
I guess it's my turn. What have I been playing? This is starting to get a boring segment because I haven't been playing anything different. Twilight Princess, for once. Because I have ADD and I usually play different things every week. But I am playing Twilight Princess and Final Fantasy VI Advance, as usual. And I just got to the part where the real Mr. Chupon and Ultro start fighting the dudes on the airship. And like I predicted, they changed the name back to Typhon, and it made me very sad.
Mm-hmm.
For all of those out there who don't know, I derived my name from a villain in Final Fantasy III on the Super Nintendo. He was some pink blob with a mouth for an ass and a mouth for a mouth, and he sneezed you off the airship because he's so pink and mouthy and like disgusting looking.
And mouthy.
And he says Funga, so I said I had to have him as my online name. And apparently in Final Fantasy 1 and 2, Dawn of Souls, when you fight the extra bosses in the extra dungeons, he's there, but they changed his name to Typhon, so I'm like, what the fuck is this? Okay, it might be a typo. And then one of my friends on GameSpot sent me a private message and was like, dude, I just got up to Chupon and they changed his name. What the hell's the deal? And I got very sad, and I finally had to admit to myself that it's the wrong name.
Yeah, thanks, Square.
And Typhon makes more sense.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Because Typhon is some Greek monster that, like, blows you off of platforms and stuff. Whatever. Anyway, moving on. To the news. We're going to blow through this really quickly because we're late and we are on a schedule. Take Two might sell. Shareholders pissed. All right, let me read this from Kotaku. Take-Two announced today that they may be selling the company in light of a squabble between shareholders which centers around a move to push out the current board. In a brief statement released today, the company said they have postponed their annual meeting scheduled for Friday, pushing it back down to March 29th, so they would have time to review the proposed actions of the shareholder group and also to evaluate alternative courses of action. On March 7th, shareholders with 46% of the company announced that they plan to overthrow the board and management.
Mm-hmm. That's upheaval.
Due to five quarters of losses. Okay, so they've just been basically bleeding money out of their assholes.
Furiously.
Furiously. Specifically, new CEO Paul Eibler and CFO Carl Winters are in their sights. The group of dissidents include the Oppenheimer Funds. That's the thing with all the hands.
Yep.
Which owns 25% of the company.
That's a lot of hands.
Bloomberg citing analysts. List Electronic Arts as a potential buyer of the company.
Mm-mm-mm.
What the hell is going on?
Yeah, EA is just looking. They're like, okay, these guys are a competitor, and the only way we can win is by eliminating the competition. So let's buy them.
They just window shopping.
Mm-hmm.
I think that maybe Take Two, like the CEO, is just. This is what I heard on other news reports and other podcasts, and this is a very interesting theory. Is that yeah, it's like. You know what? You want to overthrow us? You know what? Fuck you then. We're going to sell ourselves. You try to overthrow them.
Yeah.
So the board can't really do anything. But it's really interesting that Take-Two is losing so much money when, you know, they own the distribution rights to, I don't know, one of the most popular franchises ever?
Yeah.
Like, Grand Theft Auto, which should be, I think 4 is coming out this October.
Yep, 4.
And, like, I don't know. I guess I haven't been in the loop with all the stuff that they're doing. It just seems to me that this is a company that really shouldn't be losing that much money 5 quarters in a row. But,
well,
I don't know.
Maybe 5 quarters ago they brought out San Andreas.
That's a good point.
It's possible.
Yeah, that's a good point. And then San Andreas came out. And, yeah, I think you're right in terms of the timeline.
Right, because Bully...
Or maybe it was 04.
Bully didn't sell too well.
Oh, you're right.
Table Tennis didn't really sell that well.
Probably. But Oblivion...
Oblivion
was a huge hit on the Xbox.
And that was distributed by Take-Two?
Yeah.
I wonder if maybe... I mean, it's probably not enough to offset the cost revenue of Bully and, let's see, did their 2K sports line do anything?
That's a good question. I don't know how well they sold.
Right.
They could you know what? It may be because of the goddamn loss in football.
That's true, too. They could have lost a lot more than, you know, a lot more losers than winners in the past 5 quarters.
God damn it, Take-Two. Hurry up.
Yeah.
Don't get bought out. Okay. Next. This has caused a lot of fanboy uproar in, like, people's anuses everywhere.
Yeah, the internet is just imploding right up the anus.
Devil May Cry 4 and Ace Combat now cross-platform, which were formerly PS3 exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something I don't quite get. Final Fantasy 13 exclusivity under discussion.
You know, I think that that's
mistranslation.
A mistranslation. I mean, it's not a mistranslation because the guy actually said it. And they didn't, like, you know, they didn't say, well, he said what may have been thought to be that the exclusivity is under discussion. They transcribed his French, which really means, you know, I must tell you that we are still discussing the PS3 exclusivity. And now, like, for example, like when parents says something stupid, Nintendo comes right up and says, well, that bitch is lying. Sony ain't say nothing. Square ain't say nothing. I'm wondering what's going on.
All right. Well, let's read this. Sony Computer Entertainment France President Georges Fornet dropped the bombshell in an interview with French language newspaper Les Dernières Nouvelles d'Alsace. Sorry, French people, I totally butchered that.
You got the first part right.
Les? Ooh.
Oh, well, not that Les. I mean...
Dernières Nouvelles d'Alsace. Chalaisien. He said the development cost... this is translated, okay? And so, bear with me. He said... The development costs of games have exploded and it's become more difficult to have exclusives outside of our own game. But we have for launch day in France 30 games, including Motorstorm. I'm going to stop that because I'm going to offend so many people. Resistance Fall of Man and Virtual Fighter 5. Moreover, we are expecting 200 games for the PS3 by the end of 2007. As far as Final Fantasy 13 goes, I can tell you that exclusivity is in the discussion. So, okay. I'm starting to agree with you. I mean, like, the way it's phrased, he could mean that, quote-unquote, the discussion is his discussion with the press at that very moment. Like, in my discussion with you, exclusivity is in the picture.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean?
Exclusivity of the scoop, like, information for it or something.
Maybe. Oh, no. What I mean is he's saying, as far as Final Fantasy 13 goes, like, exclusivity is part of what I'm telling to you, the press, today. It will be exclusive.
Maybe.
It is part of this discussion with you guys. But that's stretching it a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
I gotta get... Wait. Keep going. But I'm gonna see if I can scoop up that French.
The real French?
Yeah, what he actually said. Because, I mean, what you're saying can possibly be interpreted from what he said in French. But
right.
The English translation is just bonk.
Right. Let's see what the other stories. Ace Combat 6 and Devil May Cry 3. Ace Combat. I don't know how much of a coup Ace Combat is. I've never really played it. I don't know how much people really like it. But I do know that Devil May Cry 4, which I personally don't really care about, you know, that much, is that's got people's panties up in a bunch. They even had a petition. Let me find this petition. It's kind ridiculous. Okay, one second. But first, let me read the this story. And I just typed in Devil May Cry 3 to Google. What is my problem? Google! Okay, so from Emma Boyes from GameSpot UK, it's official, Devil May Cry 4 is no longer a PlayStation 3 exclusive. The latest installment in Dante's Adventures has joined the list of games that will no longer be limited to Sony's new console. Like Devil May Cry 3, the Capcom game will be released on the PC as well.
Mm-hmm.
It will also ship for the 360 at the same time as a PS3 version, making it the first time a DMC game has been released on Microsoft console. This news is in line with a growing trend. Many companies are choosing to go multi-platform rather than limit profits with a single-format game. Previous titles that were once platform-exclusive include Virtua Fighter V, Assassin's Creed, Bladestorm, The Hundred Years War, Fatal Inertia, and Saints Row, which used to be Xbox 360 exclusive. And that brings up a very important point that I think all these high-profile games that are going to the 360 from the PS3, people are forgetting that, like, everybody was like, oh yeah, Oblivion, Xbox 360 is going to have Oblivion, we're going to have Saints Row and all this stuff, and Oblivion went to the PS3.
Yep.
And Saints Row is going to the PS3. So it's like, it's kind of, the reason why it's one-sided, I think, is because, you know, Sony is supposed to be, you know, the guy with the balls in their hands. You know, they're supposed to be the guys in charge. And
balls in their hands.
Yes.
Okay.
Lift up your skirt, grab your balls, and let's make some money. thank you, Boiler Room. That was a movie it was from. But, you know, it's like they're the ones who are supposed to be in control. So, like, when something goes from the 360 to the PlayStation, people are like, okay, whatever, because it's Sony and they should have it. Mm-hmm. But when something goes from the PS3 to the 360, they're like, oh, no! What'd you say? Life is over?
The
world is over. Let me find this petition. Oh, I'm getting ever closer. Ever closer. This is really stupid. Oh my god. To Capcom. We, the people that have signed this petition, feel very left out in your decision to make Devil May Cry a multi-platform title and hereby agree to boycott your sale of Capcom-affiliated games. This is due to your decision to turn your back on the most faithful gaming company. What?
What?
For years, we have enjoyed games. We have reaped the benefits of your commitment to Sony. We find it absolutely demoralizing, not only for the gamers, but for Sony itself. We want you to know that we will not and should not stand for your actions, and therefore withhold our option of buying your product. Sincerely, the undersigned. Wow.
What? The 10,000 PS3 owners?
There are 6,700 total signatures. One of them is mine.
What?
And I'll tell you why. I signed up, and I signed up under the name youreallidiots@stupid.com. And I just put in, you guys are total freaking idiots. I just had to get that in there because it was so funny to me that they got this stupid position. Petition that they're like, oh my god, this is... Okay. Everybody listening, the Capcom petition to Capcom was created and written by Derek Hall. That's D-E-R-R-I-C-K Hall, H-A-L-L. You can reach him at DerekHall89@Hotmail.com. DerekHall89@Hotmail.com. I'm just reading this for informational purposes. I'm not saying you should go. In fact, I don't encourage that you go out and do anything with that email address because that would be wrong. But it's out there. You know, in case, you know, I don't know, you feel compelled to disobey, compelled to disagree. I don't know. It's up to you guys.
Really?
DerekHall89@Hotmail.com. Anyway, yeah, I mean, okay, first of all, these things never work. Second of all, this is the stupidest thing since, like, the petition for Resident Evil 4 going to the PlayStation 2. Where are all the little Sony fanboys there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is good. You should be jumping ship. The company is out to make money. And the fact of the matter is that putting this stuff on the 360 will get them 10 million more buyers, and that's a fact.
Damn right.
You know, I'm sorry, but Capcom doesn't live for you. They live for themselves. They live to make money. Okay? And there's nothing amoral about saying, hey, we want to give 360 owners a great game as well. There's nothing amoral about that. So if you got a problem with that, maybe you should stop playing video games. And go, like, take a leak in your bed or something and throw up. I don't know. Petitions are stupid, and Derek Hall's an idiot. So, Derek Hall, if you're out there, we love you, and we want you to just shut the fuck up and go back into your little hole where you're called out from. Petitions don't work!
That's right, okay. Bitch!
Moving on to the next topic. Unless you have something to say about this.
No. I just think that's freaking stupid.
But yeah,
you know, it's like you're okay. We're petitioning you to stop wanting to make money and just be loyal to us, so that you can go out of business in 3 years.
It's really stupid. I mean, we're getting down to the point where no third party game is safe from exclusivity. You're just gonna have to rely on your online service and your first party exclusive.
That's right.
Which, to be honest, Sony has nothing to worry about. If they put out God of War 3, people like Derek Hall are going to, like, sperm in their pants and go get it.
Yep.
And that's fine. I mean, what the hell is... I don't know.
There's always Madden. People are
oh, jeez. Yeah. Yeah.
Madden on 18,000 platforms. Best-selling game ever.
But, yeah, I mean, if you want my perspective on it, I never gave two shits about Devil May Cry 4 anyway. It wasn't going to make me buy PS3. So. Right. They never had my sale in the first place.
And I still didn't even finish the first one.
Yeah, and like, what's going to make me buy a PS3 is something like God of War 3, and I'll wait for that. I don't need Devil May Cry 4. Oh my god, God of War 3 is going to be Xbox 360 multi-platform, blah, 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 blah. Whatever. That'll be the day. That'll be funny to see, though.
Mm-hmm. Sony Computer Entertainment on
Xbox.
Yeah, that's like Microsoft publishing a Rare game on Nintendo.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wait, that's right. Donkey Kong Country 3 for GBA.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. Moving on. Blu-ray winning? Walmart thinks so. And this is from Kotaku. And here's a rumor, and this is posted on the 21st of this week, from Brian Ashcraft. What? It's already over? Over at CheapAssGamer.com, folks are posting that the Xbox 360 HD DVD player is being marked down at Walmart to $130 from its retail price of $200, $199.99. What's more, apparently Walmart has cleared out its HD DVD players. Reader Superrat sends word that the New York Post reports that HD DVD is being outsold by Blu-ray. Since the PS3 went on sale, Blu-ray sales have jumped to nearly three times that of HD DVD, says Fox Home Entertainment Steve Feldstein, I don't know. The format war is in its final phase. It's never been a question of if Blu-ray will pass HD DVD, but a matter of when. There are other articles on this, and some people were like, "Oh, you can't judge the sales of this by like a couple of months of a trend." And I'm just like,
"Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can. It's been quite a few impactful months, if I may say. And yeah, I mean, this is all indication that stuff is going to go down into the shitter. I mean, if you look at the studios behind. If you look at the studios behind the formats, it's for me, it was almost not really too much of a question that Blu-ray was going to have like a big upper hand. I mean, I think, and I could be wrong, that when Blu-ray and HD DVD came out, mm-hmm. Blu-ray had almost every single studio behind its back, backing it up.
Right.
The same ones that HD-DVD did. Maybe minus one or two of them. And HD-DVD, on the other hand, only had like a paltry few. I'm honestly not sure. I'll have to read that back again. We read this when Ethan and I were talking about Blu-ray versus HD-DVD a couple of episodes ago.
Right.
But, like, yeah, I just looked at it and it was like, well, it's, you know, looks like it's going to win. Mm-hmm. I would have wanted HD-DVD to win because I heard about the quality issues with the Blu-ray streams. Like the compression between the two.
Right.
Blu-ray was supposed to be worse. But I'm hearing reports from my friend that like it's fine, it's great because his father got a Blu-ray player and it's all, you know, it looks great. So what does this mean for video games really? Oh, surprise! Tony has awoken from his slumber and is here to spread golden rain upon the populace.
Yeah, hello, people.
Hi! Quickly, what have you been playing before we get back to this Blu-ray thing?
I don't know what you guys have been playing. I hope it's the same thing. I've been playing God of War and God of War 2, motherfuckers!
You good shit. How do you like it?
Oh my god, I can't even believe I passed on God of War all this time. I can't believe it. I'm slapping myself in the nuts daily. This is just the biggest mistake I could have ever done because this is quite possibly one of the best games ever made for the PS2. As far as action, storyline, and just graphics and the music, everything, the whole presentation of the game is just fantastic. So how could Carl? They outdo God of War on God of War 2? Has any, you guys played that yet?
I have God of War 2. God of War, the only reason why I didn't get like a 5 out of 5 from me is like very nitpicky complaints that really like downed the experience for me. And so far, God of War 2 has not exhibited those nitpicks. So I'm pretty close to saying that so far, it's one of, like you said, it's one of the best PS2 games.
Yeah, I mean, I was just, the game just started and you fight the Colossus of Rhodes and I just can't believe how, I was floored. I was floored. I couldn't be, it just started. The game just fucking started. They didn't even like wait to like, for a big battle. They put this epic thing right in the beginning. And then it just keeps on getting better and better and better. Right now,
I'm it's like a barbecue.
Yeah.
Here, eat this shit. There's some more coming this way.
Yeah, so right now I'm at Atlas. Actually, I just passed Atlas. He brought me across the chasm, and now I'm in the Fates.
You're ahead of me now. You've been playing like that, like a madman.
Oh yeah. Well, first off, it took me like a day and a half to clear God of War 1. So
holy shit.
So after that, I was like, I'm not gonna play. You know, I wanted to play God of War again. That's how good it was.
Right. Right.
And I was like, "Nah, fuck it, I gotta get on too." So that's exactly what I did. So that's
Carl from Living Single is Kratos.
TC
Carson. Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious to see him in this. But all right. So back to the AC/DVD thing. So what this means for video games? To recap, AC/DVD is getting trounced by Blu-ray. At the very least, we are finally coming to a standard media format. Thank God. I mean, this whole war was stupid in the first place. Even though this is for movies, like at least now we have a standardized format. So when we move on to whatever next generation it is, and we're still on these discs, at least we'll have something set.
Right.
Though I would have hoped that in 5 years it would have been set already. But like the sooner the better, really. This is also good for the PlayStation 3 because people don't have to worry about another format, you know, taking all the film, like taking all the movies for itself. Because once you get that PS3 with the Blu-ray player, and you can be confident that this is the standard and this is what people are going to get. Even Microsoft said, like, some quote somewhere else was like, you know what? Sure, we will consider whatever format wins out in the end. We're not saying who will because we don't know yet, obviously, because they're backing HD/DVD and don't want to look like idiots.
Right.
But that leaves the door open for them to say, hey, look, we can get a Blu-ray player as well. Which I think, you know, in retrospect, I still think that them leaving out the high-definition disc player, whereas I used to think that was a huge mistake, now I'm thinking maybe not so much, because why should they hedge their bets on a player that they don't know will succeed?
Right.
They put out the add-on player for $200, but they didn't say, okay, this Microsoft thing is going to play AC/DVDs and AC/DVDs only.
Mm-hmm.
You know, though you could also say the same for if they had put the AC/DVD drive in, maybe AC/DVDs would have sold better. I don't know.
Maybe it would have had a cheap platform.
Yeah. Well, I think it was a huge mistake not to include it anyway, because if you're like me, you don't want to buy an add-on for a system, especially an add-on that's going to be dropped. Everybody knows, you know, this is not the same thing, but do we want another Super Scope? Do we want another Sega CD? Do we want another...
It is a very similar thing,
only because these are things that are supposed to be revolutionary and be the standard of technology, or at least something that's going to be used more than 5 years. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know,
I agree.
And they wound up being discontinued.
Exactly. And so, okay, so now you bought a $200 add-on for your Xbox 360. Guess what? They abandoned it.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see what happens in the coming months. Let's see if HD/DVD gives up or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, who knows? Maybe it won't. Maybe they're stubborn. But we're moving on to the last topic, which Tony had perfect timing in coming in on.
Ah.
Jack Thompson countersues.
Yay!
Counter Sues Take Two Entertainment. Tony, you might want to be lying down for this one because I predict that you will have an aneurysm.
Oh, probably.
But here we go. I'm going to read, and I'm going to let you take the whole thing away because we're running short on time. But we need a rant from you. So last week, Take Two Interactive filed suit against Florida lawyer Jack Thompson in a preemptive move to keep him from filing his own suits against the publisher to prevent the upcoming releases of Grand Theft Auto 4 and Manhunt 2. Thompson promised to strike back, and today he filed his response to the Take-Two suit along with a countersuit accusing the publisher of multiple violations of the Racketeer Influence and Corruptions Act. That's the acronym is RICO.
Yes.
specifically a continued effort to violate his constitutional rights since July of 05. As for his defense in the initial suit, Thompson said that it is an attempt by Take-Two to violate his First Amendment right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. The Take-Two suit seeks to have Thompson barred from filing suit to have its games declared a public nuisance. Okay. Mm-hmm. So basically, Take-Two said he can't sue us because he can't sue us or whatever. It would be a crime to sell any game declared to be a public nuisance in Florida, effectively banning such games in the state. Thompson said that the publisher's suit is unnecessary because the law has already has protections built into it. According to Thompson's defense, should Thompson improperly bring such action against the nuisance of selling adult material to children under 17 years of age, which is the store's responsibility and the parent's responsibility, there is an adequate remedy available to Take-Two to defeat such an action and assess costs against Thompson as provided by the statute itself. Thus, the attempt in this federal action to preempt the state approach, which, you know, this is all a bunch of legalese. This is stupid. Tony, go ahead.
Okay, first off, everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
Is there a latency problem? Is there anything else like that? Because essentially, I just want you to know that Jack Thompson filed a suit because he's a fucking dickhead. his constitutional right to sue, I've never fucking heard such a stupid... I got to reread the Constitution on this because I'm pretty sure that there wasn't... And thusly, no lawyer shall have their rights to sue a game company revoked. You know,
and the King of England can't come in and punch you in the face.
Essentially, Jack Thompson is just being Jack Thompson again. There is no constitutional law that says he can't sue. As a matter of fact, they're barring him from doing frivolous suits. And this has been proven to be frivolous because it's been thrown out of court before. Okay? So here he is. No. That it was just found frivolous by one judge who I'm taking a grievance against. Okay, and, you know, until that grievance is situated, you can't stop me from suing you. Well, that's the whole fucking thing. He's a fucking ambulance chaser in the worst way. Okay, so...
Rainmaker!
Well, the whole thing is, okay, Take-Two wants to make sure that never again he makes a name for himself doing something stupid. Like this, okay? I think we should thank him, one, because I said this before, he's making a lot of people famous. Okay? Other than himself. He's not making himself famous at all. He's just looking like an asshole. Okay? But as I said, he sued 2 Live Crew. You know, tried to have their
records. Oh, yeah, that's
banned.
Right.
Okay, tried to have the records banned. They got more famous because of him. Where was his name? No. Who's Jack Thompson? You know? And now here it is. I guess he's running low on money. His wife is cheating on him. His daughter's, his daughter's knocked up by the country drug addict. And now he wants to go and cite what's called the RICO Act, which is probably the most racist fucking title for a
does that hurt you, Tony? Does it make you sting?
No, it didn't hurt me at all. I mean, at least it wasn't called
RICO,
another acronym like the Puerto
Suave.
Rico Act. You know what I'm saying? I mean, maybe that's the whole thing. He couldn't think of an acronym for Puerto. You know, so it's just the RICO Act, okay? It's just the fucking and look at the long strong butt, the Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organizations Act. What
racketeering?
Are we in fucking prohibition? What
well,
because
Take-Two is carrying Tommy guns everywhere, don't you know?
I don't fucking believe this. What did they dig up? Jimmy Hoffa and fucking Al Capone, you know? And this is what the act was made against because what is this bullshit? How are they racketeering? I
don't know.
If anything, I would rechange the racketeer influence and put it to pandering influence because that's what they do. You know, Take-Two is pandering to the lowest common denominator, okay? And Jack Thompson's against that. You know, games like Bully, you know, if they're anything deep, they're not really, really fucking deep. You know, they're pretty much superficial games. Like, if I was to try to explain why Grand Theft Auto Vice City Stories was, like, not a deep story at all, it would take me about 1 second. It's not! It's fucking superficial as hell! It's superficial! It's all about violence! That's it! They're pandering! Okay, so where does the racketeering come from? Jack Thompson, you just proved yourself to be a dickless, ballless asshole, once again, trying to make your name for yourself. You know, maybe he should just go against, like, I don't know. Get his nipples pierced, go against, like, somebody because he got an infection, you know, from piercing his nipples, okay?
Dude.
Then it wouldn't be frivolous.
I have to read the rest of this because some of this is really funny.
Yeah.
Let's see. Thompson's defense also appears to contain a number of factual errors and misrepresentations. He claims the ESRB found that Take-Two Interactive failed to disclose objectionable content in its RPG Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion. The ESRB said it found developer Bethesda Softworks was at fault in the matter, not Take-Two. Mm-hmm. Thompson also said that Bully was found to have homosexual sex hidden in the game.
What?
About which Take-Two forgot to tell the ESRB and the judge in last year's suit over the game's release. The homosexual activity in the game is actually limited to kissing, and the ESRB said shortly after that that game came out that such scenes were considered in issuing it a rating of T for teen, which is what it came out as. When asked by GameSpot about these incongruities and others, Thompson only replied, "I'm sorry, you can't figure these things out." wait, there's more. Wait.
Man.
Okay. Thompson's countersuit opens with a few pages of background. He positions himself as a defender of civil rights, mentioning receiving threats on his life when he came out in favor of fair housing law to end segregation in an all-white town in Ohio 38 years ago. Ooh. Okay, so this has so much to do with games. The background also includes a number of contentious remarks about Take-Two before enumerating his accusations. Thompson refers to Grand Theft Auto Vice City as a violence and sex simulation game that perpetuates racial stereotypes, asking, what else would one expect of Scottish sociopaths sitting their single malt Glenlivet in between brainstorming software programming sessions?
Wait, okay, so...
Perhaps this is him being tongue-in-cheek and him trying to be ironic or him trying to, like, you know, be sarcastic, but he's talking about perpetuating racial stereotypes.
Exactly, and he just gave
in this
one.
Game, and mm-hmm. he just offended the entire nation of Scotland.
Yeah, and he just gave one. And, you know, that's a big word for him, Glenlivet.
Wow,
yeah.
Glenlivet. I've never had that, but yeah. I hear it tastes good, so... Well, that's it for you, Mr. Thompson. We are going to take your toupee and burn it. Meanwhile, we are going to move on to the
mailbag.
If you've never been hit in the face with a mailbag before, now's the time.
You win.
Perfect. Perfect ball smack. I've never seen anything better. Okay, opening the mailbag is taking a while. Hurry up, mailbag. Hurry up.
There was a question from... Did, like, internet get slower?
The internet died when they announced that Devil May Cry 4 wasn't exclusive anymore. So,
yeah, that's probably... They're bringing it up on mouth-to-mouth resistance.
I'm breathing on the internet.
Oh, God. Okay, so here... Here's one final comment from Riven and a question for us. Let's see. As you remember, Riven was the one who sparked the whole Ocarina of Time conversation, which we had a good podcast about last week. And
I wish I didn't miss that one.
Yeah. Here's his final response. Hey guys, I'll make this my last couple of points to finalize our Ocarina discussion so as not to bore the listeners with too much of it. Basically, to respond to the few responses to my response and my response to my original question. Wait, where the fuck was I? I like this dude. He's learning quick. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, just to clarify, I did, in fact, beat Ocarina of Time. I think Austin put it best with the pacing difference between a 3D and a 2D game. Maybe it's not the same for all action-adventure games, but I think the pacing was definitely a problem in Ocarina. Link to the Past was a very tightly woven package that was interesting and entertaining from start to finish. Maybe it was that the 3D world was too expansive, but it did feel like there was a lot of traveling and not so much action. I can't really put my finger on why Ocarina failed to pull me in the same way as A Link to the Past did. Again, Austin said it best with some games just having that certain je ne sais quoi. I just wanted to state my feelings about being an older gamer a little better. It's not that I don't plan on playing any more epic-sized games, and I do really enjoy the action-adventure genre. I just won't let myself stick out a game that I know I'm not going to enjoy. I'll probably give Twilight Princess another shot and see if it can work its magic on me again, but if not, I'll have no qualms about trading it and moving on. Don't trade it in! On the other side of the coin, we have Mass Effect coming soon, and if that game is as good as I hope it is, as all BioWare games are, I will have the time to devote to play that game through and see as much as I possibly can. If I'm not wasting time on trying to play every game, then that frees up some of that time to spend as much as I need to on the games I do enjoy. And Ethan, I do have that OCD disorder, especially with games that I enjoy where I need to see and do everything. Adventure games were the worst because I was always worried about missing some clever joke or clue by not inspecting every single pixel. I'm also one of those gamers that if I'm offered any kind of branching path, dialogue, tree, or choice in some other way, no matter what choice I make, after about 3 minutes, I'll start worrying that it was a wrong one.
I know that.
Quick question for the week, and this is your favor, Riven. I was actually wondering if you guys might be willing to plug my podcast. I just started it last week. The first episode is up on iTunes already, and I'll be recording episode 2 within the next couple of days.
Well, I guess we just
Yeah, there we go. I plan on plugging you guys in every episode, even if you don't plug me, just because you do deserve it. So, so that's it. If you're going to do us that favor, we're going to do the same favor. It's called Game Slaves Radio. G-A-M-E-S-L-A-V-E-S Radio. Game Slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Game Slaves. Search in iTunes for Game Slaves Radio. You can get the RSS feed at www.shockpod.com.
Shockpod?
S-H-O-C-K-pod.com. /users/GSRYVVN/home.html.
Jesus Christ.
Home.html.
Also, do you have any tips on podcast hosting and such? I know you guys probably host right off of Trigames and that, but I'd figure I'd ask you in case you had an experience with those services. I'm currently using Shockpod, but even their top-tier servers only has 300 megs, and if my first episode is any indication, I'm about 75 megs. Okay, so I'm not the best person to ask. We're still, you know, we're 40 episodes in, but I'm still perfecting the art of having our things posted. Yeah, we have it hosted on Trigames. If you're worried about downing the size, the best thing to do is get a really good, nice noise isolating microphone or a noise canceling microphone. Have the highest quality for every one of your participants, and then compress it at 64 kilobytes per second. That will leave about 35 megs for something that's about 65 to 75 minutes long. So you can have about 100 or I don't know, 300 megs is kind of anemic though. So you may want to find somewhere else or find some hosting somewhere. Anyway, that was Riven. Next question. And this is, let's see, these two questions are going to be long ones.
Uh-oh.
Best story in game question. And here we go. This is from, this is from Digimatrix. From the games you guys have played, which game do you think has the best story ever made? Here are some of my few. Max Payne for its mostly its way of storytelling through noir, stylish cutscenes, and making me a huge fan of noir as a genre. The story is impeccable, even on the surface the game might seem like a third-person action shooter. Another game for me would be obviously KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic, hugely influencing me as an upcoming sci-fi writer and does a much better job of telling a story than all other Star Wars movies and comics combined. Third one is Halo 1. It just brings the best elements of the sci-fi genre characters, a very religious cult-like covenant race mystery, and a widely expanding universe of a story. What do you guys think? Best story in game.
Oh.
I'll let Al go first since I think I can hear a long speech coming from Tony and really. all of our attention should be devoted to him. But Al,
no,
go ahead.
I think best story in game so far. The only thing that's really touched me was Final Fantasy IV.
Okay.
I just love those stories of, you know, conversion and betrayal and yeah, I love that Star Wars shit. Fucking awesome. Yeah, right. I like stuff like that. That's why I love Star Wars so much. And it's just like from its humble beginnings to its pretty much epic ending, and you know the emotions that they bring out of you when you play,
right.
Or of me when I play, like. It's just freaking awesome. Just from, like, I'm really trying not to spoil it, but just
stuff.
The many points in the game where you feel that all is lost, and then you get that salvation, and the music flourishes, and then it gets real vicious and shit, and then you just get, like, that will to complete the game or to fight that boss.
We'll keep on fighting to the end. Tony!
The champ. Hello?
What's your best story in game?
Okay, I'm going to have to go with Lunar 1 and 2.
Ooh.
Sega CD.
Nice Ooh. Choices.
I'm also going to have to go... It's a strategy game, but I like the way, even though it was like kind of like stupid in storyline,
right.
Dark Wizard for Sega CD.
Oh.
Final Fantasy VII, without a doubt. Even though there was a lot of text that was totally unnecessary and had nothing to do with the storyline, and who the fuck cares about Barrett anyway? The rest of the story and cinematics were fantastic, in my opinion. And then, most recently, what can I say? God of War, God of War 2.
I am the God of War, and I was in Living Single!
You want the whole package of, like, great storytelling with action and everything that it doesn't sound like it's convoluted or like it's, like, totally contrite. This is a game that will have you saying, oh, well, that's why he's like that. Or you know, that's, and I gotta say, wow, what a fucking game. And of course, Zelda's, what are you gonna do? You know, the Zelda in doesn't really tell a story so much as it does in action, you know? Essentially, it's the same story all the time. You know, Zelda somehow got kidnapped by Ganon again. You know, but it's what's happening in between that. And the
big ugly pig.
Yeah, so that's pretty much.
Let me see. This is gonna be tough for me because as a guy who enjoys a good story, but really, really, you know, pays attention to the gameplay first and foremost. Mm-hmm. Where like I don't really concentrate on the story. two things come to mind. Yeah. One of them is Eternal Darkness for the GameCube. Because of the way that it was presented and the way that it was written, basically, anybody who's a fan of H.P. Lovecraft and all his weird horror stories, which I haven't read yet, but I'm inspired to read because of this game. This is basically a huge ode to Lovecraft. The gameplay and the story are so tightly interwoven, and like it's all about sanity and psychological horror, and the way that it just takes you through every chapter and like has you living through it and then has you going back to different areas and seeing how they change throughout the ravages of time. And you have to play through the game three times to see the whole story too. So, but it's just, you know, it's one of those things that caught me, being someone who's not like particularly focused on story. It managed to grasp me. The other one is Shadow of the Colossus, which kind of did the complete opposite in terms of telling the story. Mm-hmm. It was all through the gameplay, like you said about Zelda, except there was almost no speech. There was like one cinematic in the middle of the game. One cinematic in the opening, one cinematic in the middle, and one cinematic in the end. Mm-hmm. And you basically just don't know what's going on precisely. They leave the entire thing open to your interpretation, but like they leave hooks in there that are obvious enough for you to be able to kind of connect the dots and string yourself along. Mm-hmm. And for anyone who hasn't played the game, I'm not going to spoil it, but it's just very... The presentation is what does it the most for me. And someone's hungry, I can hear.
Oh, no.
it's what does it for me. And it's like, it leaves so many things open, but yet you're compelled to really just think that this is what's happening to this guy. And in the end, you find out that, hey, you're right. Because they leave it out there, but they don't tell you everything. So even though I didn't think the game was incredible... Like, the story presentation was really good, and that's the second that comes to mind. There's certainly a ton more. Like, I could make some arguments for Final Fantasy 3/6, but that's the ones that come to my mind, like, the most prominently are those two. And the last one is from, I believe, Taylor. Roll Yet 9999. Backwards for Taylor. If you could buy only one game this year, what would it be? And if you don't want to torture yourselves too much, what one game on each system? Oh!
Metroid Prime 3.
Okay. Metroid Prime 3. Tony!
Same. Metroid Prime.
Shit. I didn't think about the answer before I came to myself.
You were hoping we would be a little longer on our answers.
Yes, I was. I honestly don't know. I don't know. I could pick...
See,
go ahead.
You know why, right? Because you have two consoles.
Yeah.
I only have a Wii, and the only thing I can think of that I would want more than anything else if I can only have one game this year is Metroid Prime 3, and I don't have to say anything about it.
Right, that's a good point. All right, Roll Yat, Taylor, whatever you want me to call you, asshole making me think. I'll take your second option, thank you very much. For the PC, it would be Crysis. For Wii, it would be Mario Galaxy. For 360... Despite everyone clamoring about Mass Effect, I would have to say BioShock.
Mm-hmm.
No, you know what? Scratch that. Starting over. I would rather have BioShock for the PC and Mass Effect for the 360. There you go. and Mario Galaxy for Wii. For PSP, there was something that was coming out, but
yeah,
since so much was, that's 2007.
Yeah.
That's it then. That's what I want for it.
It's gonna probably be bad, but you know, it will definitely.
I trust them. I trust them to do a good job with it.
Yeah.
And for the DS, wow, this is pretty disappointing. I can't think of a DS game that I really, really want that badly. I don't like Pokemon, which is strange because the DS is the one with the best games out there right now. Right. But I can't think of one. Al, name some off. Rattle some off. I need some suggestions. What?
I wish I could tell you. The only DS game that I know right now, Pokemon and Phantom Hourglass.
Okay, Phantom Hourglass then. I'll just take that one. I don't know. I haven't thought about this. All right, I think that about wraps it up. Thank you for Tony for jumping in at the last minute and giving Jack Thompson the nut beating of his life.
Excuse me, I'm on the phone.
Beat him in the nuts. Don't forget to enter our...
Beat him in the nuts.
Don't forget to enter our Pirates versus Ninjas contest. What the hell is your problem?
Pirates versus Ninjas?
Close the door!
Close the door!
Unbelievable!
Close the door!
Time. I just, God damn it!
Close the door! Go to, what is this from? This concoction that you're making, Al?
Really? He's just making it up on the
phone. I just made shit up. I'm telling you, man.
Pirates vs. Ninjas contest, go to trigames.net, TRIGAMES.NET. Right on the front page, there is a huge fat link that says win $50. Click on it, read the rules, enter, or don't.
Yeah, it's not
it's
spam.
It's not spam.
It is not spam.
It's not spam. Not spam. Dun dun.
Not spam. It's not spam.
And remember to remember your entries should be submitted to mailbag@trygames.net. There are two versions. mailbag@trygames.net or mailebag. Both work.
Bag.
It's just like balls.
Tastes like balls. That's right. How would you know?
Oh, I didn't say it tastes like balls. It says just like balls.
I was
going
to
say.
Al's been
wow. I can never admit that anything tastes wow. like balls.
And there's that. And you can also send questions or comments to that same mailbag. As Riven did a couple of weeks ago, you may send an MP3 question if you want your lovely voice to be read on the air. To be heard, to be shown on the air. I'm sorry. To
be
dis-
read on the air.
Yes, I'm going to read your voice.
0111111010.
Okay, so...
010.
Maybe the questions. Try to keep them a little short, shorter than the 6 minutes that Riven gave us. Actually, that was 7 minutes, but it was important. But can't try to keep it short, and send it to the mailbag, and we will download it and listen to it and make fun of you if you sound funny. For Al, for Tony, and for I don't know where the hell Ethan is, but he's probably like honking off somewhere.
He's in Charlotte, North Carolina, getting butt fucked in the woods.
In the 85 degree weather.
He likes it hot.
Ken Gannett from Connecticut.
Yeah, hey there, cockboy.
I have been your host, Typhon. I mean, Mr. Troupon, and we're out.
Me and my back. Mm-mm. Man, it's just like balls.
Tastes like balls. Tastes like balls. Tastes like balls. Balls.